Well, a very good evening to you. My name is Adrian Watts. As Tom's already said, I'm one of the leaders with him of Trinity Church. And particularly if you are a guest with us this evening, then you're really, really welcome. I do hope you'll stay for more wine and mince pies and a chance to get to know you later. Now, we're going to have a look now at what the real meaning of Christmas is. And just to help get us thinking, we're going to watch a short video. Well, this, of course, is the latest John Lewis Christmas advert. It costs £6 million to make and stars the seven-year-old Lewis McGowan. Now, just to say from the beginning, this event is not sponsored by John Lewis. But we show the video because it has been a massive hit this Christmas. It's one of the top viewed videos on YouTube this month with over 3 million hits. And there's been articles about it in all the papers. Well, why the fuss? As you read through some of the comments on YouTube, many people have said that the video has touched them. I wonder if you had a sense of that tonight. Some people haven't been able to say quite why, but others have said that the commercial captures the beauty of giving. You know, you think the boy, don't you, is waiting to open his presents. And the song, the cover of the Smiths song, "Please, Please, Please, Let Me Get What I Want," kind of leads you in that direction. But the twist at the end is that we find he's not waiting to receive, but to give a gift to his parents. Now, to be fair, the reviews have been mixed. You know, some people think the ad is a bit sickly sweet. Others think the ad's just flawed. I mean, how on earth did a kid afford a gift from John Lewis? You know, what pocket money was he on? Also, don't even notice that the kid got up at 8 o'clock on Christmas Day morning. What kid gets up that late on Christmas Day? And if that's you, you know, kind of fair enough. But I wonder if you're happy just to run with the general idea that giving can be a beautiful thing. For example, what about when a man and a woman give themselves to one another on their marriage day? Isn't that a beautiful thing? Or when a soldier gives his life on the battlefield for his country? Or when a boy gives a bone marrow transplant to a little brother in intensive care? Or when a daughter gives up her career to look after her aging mother in her own home? I mean, these are things, aren't we, that we find beautiful. Well, why is that? Why is giving beautiful? Now, what's particularly beautiful about giving as opposed to something else? Now, for example, take the commercial. What if the commercial were to end with the boy just unwrapping his presents and the clip ends like that? Why is that not such a beautiful ending? What if the commercial were to end with the boy sort of ripping over all of his presents, and then it ends with him sitting on the bed, playing on his new computer game, stuffing his face with Christmas chocolate? Why is that not such a beautiful end? Or what if the commercial were to end with the boy opening all of his presents and then having a tantrum and jumping up and down and shouting at his parents, "These are not the presents that I want"? Now, why do we find that not beautiful, but ugly? Well, one way that people try and understand the world is that they think that what you see is all there is. You're like, the only thing that matters is matter. And this way of thinking is called materialism. And it's a very popular way of thinking and living. And you can see it in the way that people give themselves to the collection of possessions, you know, from clothes to phones to music to cars to houses. People collect all kinds of things. But if that's the right way to think about the world, then why is giving so beautiful? If life really is all about collecting things, then why do we value giving something away so much? Doesn't make sense, does it? If materialism was right, wouldn't it be better to receive, or in fact take, and so grow the collection of stuff? Well, one of the things that we're totally persuaded of at Trinity Church is that only the God of the Bible answers questions satisfactorily. Questions like this: why is giving beautiful? And the Bible's answer is that giving is beautiful because it reflects a giving God. You see, at the heart of the universe is a relational God. God is not an impersonal force like electricity. Neither is God a lonely figure who just sort of wanders the universe. But rather, God exists as three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And because God is three persons, they're in relationship with each other. And they relate to each other in a giving way. They give glory and honour and respect to one another. You know, it's not a relationship where the Father is trying to draw attention to himself and the Son is trying to draw attention to himself. They point to one another. They give. And when the beauty of that eternal relationship is reflected in human relationships, that's when we go, wow. That's why people are touched when they see this commercial. That's why giving is beautiful, because the beauty we see in human giving is a reflection of the giving God. See that? But that's not all. As we read the Bible, we find that the way that God relates to us is also a giving relationship. God gives us life and breath. He gives us rain. He gives us food. He gives us families. He gives us a wife or a husband or children. And in fact, every good thing we have is a gift from God. But of all the gifts that God gives us, there is one gift that is his most beautiful gift to us. And that is the gift of his Son, Jesus. I wonder if you'd, it might not be light enough, but could you turn in your service sheets? There's a passage from the Bible that's printed there. You might have to sort of huddle up to the candles to see it. It's a passage that's printed from Luke chapter 2. If you can't see it, don't worry, I'll read it out, but if you want to follow. It's the last passage that was read to us by Fiona, and it's from Luke's Gospel. And Luke is one of the four accounts that we have of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And actually, Luke tells us at the beginning of his Gospel that he was careful to speak to eyewitnesses and research everything concerning Jesus, so his readers, and that includes us, can be sure that what is written is true. In other words, Luke is good history and is the place to go if we want to understand this gift of Jesus this Christmas. Now, the passage that's printed for you on the sheets is the point in Luke's Gospel where Jesus has already been born and God now sends an angel, a heavenly messenger, to some nearby shepherds to tell them of the significance of what's happened. And there's two things for us to see about the gift of God's Son. The first is that God gives a good gift. Have a look at what the angel says, and let me read from sentence 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So this heavenly messenger, this angel, wants us to know that the gift of God's Son is good news because he is a good gift. Now, many of us are going to be aware of the damage that religion can cause, what with intolerance towards other people, or manipulation, or even sort of brainwashing. And maybe you've experienced something of the pain of this firsthand. But the gift of Jesus is not something to be worried or frightened by. He is a good gift. Some of us are actually naturally suspicious that anybody would want to do us any good at all. And it was interesting, on the YouTube, back to the commercial, there were some comments about what was in the box that the boy gave his parents. You wonder that. What was in that box? Now, some people said it was a nice present. But some people said maybe it was empty. Some people said maybe there was a horse's head in it. You know, where did the boy get that from? But the point is, it matters, doesn't it? What makes giving good is not just the act of giving, it's what actually the gift is. And the angel wants to reassure us that the gift of God's Son is a good gift, and he is to be a cause of great joy. And I want you to get a sense of that tonight. Now, that is why we are here singing. This is a celebration. That's why we've got laid on mulled wine and mince pies afterwards. It's because God has given a good gift. And that is why Jesus is someone that you don't want to miss out on. Well, why is the gift of God's Son so good? And the second thing the angel says is that God gives a saviour. Have a look at sentence 11 if you can. Today, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. God gives a saviour. Now, the idea of a saviour implies that there is something that we need to be saved from. And that might be a surprise for some of us here tonight, to learn that you might be in danger and in need of saving. But it's possible, isn't it, to have a problem you don't know about until somebody tells you. And thankfully, the Bible is very straight with us. And I hope you don't mind me now being straight with you. The problem we've got is relational. We've made a mess of our relationship with God. I wonder what you would think about a child who opens his gifts at Christmas without ever acknowledging the giver, but just kind of goes off to play with the toys as if they were theirs by right. You know, that kind of selfish, ungrateful attitude is ugly. Yet the Bible speaks like this about the way we have treated God. We've taken all the things that he has given us without living as though they are gifts from him. Now, our relationship breakdown with God is very serious and has serious consequences for us, death and judgment. The reason why the shepherds were terrified when the angel appears is because they thought God had come to execute that judgment. They knew about that. But although God will come to judge, he came first to save. And the angel tells us that that baby in the manger was that saviour. But here's the extraordinary thing. The way that Jesus saved was by living a perfect life and then giving up that life to death on a cross. His rescue works as a swap with people like us. He offers to take the consequences that we deserve in exchange for his right relationship with God. The beauty of the gift is seen not only in its price, Jesus gave his life, but also how undeserved it is, considering the way that we have behaved. One New Testament writer puts it like this: God demonstrates his love for us in this, for while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God gives us a saviour. Well, what then is the real meaning of Christmas? It's not giving is better than receiving. Okay, that is not tonight's message. Rather, the reason that we appreciate the beauty of giving, of human giving, is because it reflects a giving God. And of all the things that God has given, his most beautiful gift is the gift of his Son. That's what Christmas is about. Now, God doesn't want to just us to think about this gift of his Son this Christmas. He wants us to respond to him, to personally respond to this offer of his Son. And if you're here tonight and you'd like to find out more, then please do ask us. Please come and chat with me or with Tom. We've got a load of free booklets, which we'd love to give you, so come and ask for one, and that will help you to understand more. But two other things that you might be interested in will come up on the screen. The first is a Christianity Explored course. We're really excited by this. It's a six-week course starting in February, and it's an opportunity to find out more about the Christian message. The course might make sound like a scary thing, but it's really informal. It's around someone's house. You won't be asked to read or pray or sing, but you can ask any question that you like. So come and talk to us if you'd like to do that. But also, as Tom mentioned earlier, there's Trinity at 10:30. We meet every Sunday in this hotel in one of the rooms upstairs. A term card on your tables lets you know what's going on next term, so you can find out what we're doing, and you're welcome to come to any of these meetings.